Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I'll be reading from James' first book, verses 19 through 25. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank of growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who are deceiving themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look in perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers, but who forget, but doers, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're continuing this worship series called The Starting Point, where we're talking about what it means to really put our commitment to Christ and our commitment to church to the test. I don't know if you have an iPhone, you probably got the Apple update this week. And I don't know about you, but my phone now looks like it was made by Fisher-Price. But, you know, so we have these updates, and it's all about technological enhancements. It's about getting the latest and greatest technology and all the new things that we come up with and improving. You know, change is inevitable. It always happens. It's not always positive, or at least our initial reaction to change isn't always positive. Sometimes we experience our life and the changes around us, and we don't like the things that happen. But, you know, improvements are good. And even if we don't like it initially, we get used to it. We understand how it starts to work. And then we kind of make our peace with how it goes. And, you know, that's really what our series right now on The Starting Point is really all about. It's about the ways that we can make improvements in our faith, how we can take steps to grow as followers of Christ and be more committed and more deeply committed in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We asked you the last couple of weeks to tell us about your commitment to Christ and tell us about your commitment to prayer. And we received your responses, and we've been tabulating those things, and we've been keeping up with where our church is and sort of taking the pulse of our congregation. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks that many of you have a deep commitment to faith and a deep commitment to prayer, and many others are somewhere along the journey, growing somewhere, taking those steps toward having a stronger and more meaningful faith experience. We asked you last week about your prayer life. I just want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how did you do this week? How did you make any improvements in your prayer life? Did you make any conscious decisions as it related to your prayer life? Did you do some things differently this week that you hadn't done before to experience a deeper experience of prayer? And now as we go into today's message on study and on the Bible, I want to ask you, where do you rate yourself in terms of your knowledge, your understanding, your commitment to the Bible, the way that you study the Bible? Are you satisfied with the way you do that? Are you feeling like that's a place where you can grow in your faith life? We're going to talk today about what our commitment to the Bible looks like, and we're going to talk about reasons why some of us struggle to study the Bible, and we're going to talk about why Bible reading is sometimes scary and complicated. Some of us read the Bible occasionally. Some of us read it more frequently. Some have really come to understand how to read the Bible and understand the Bible and apply the Bible into our daily lives. And to help us kind of get started with this, I've asked Clark Scott to come and share a few words. Clark, come on up. I want to ask him some questions about his personal commitment to the Bible and just see if we can learn from one of our own about what commitment to the Bible really looks like. Would you help me welcome Clark to the stage, please? Thank you very much. So Clark, I just want to ask you first, why is it important for you to engage with the Bible?
So for me, the Bible being the Word of God and just knowing that it's what He has already spoken to us, to engage in the Bible is to understand what it means to be a Christian. So for my wife and I, after joining the church and not having been to Bible studies, by getting centered on Bible study, it's helped us to restructure our life in a way that is appropriate.
So why do you do that? Why do you do Bible study with a group? Why is that helpful for you?
So, well, for me, I mean, it's one thing to read and study on your own, but there's only so far you can get. And I think for us, at least, it's been important to have others' encouragement as well as their wisdom, what they've learned, and to have their perspective to help us truly understand, you know, those difficult passages.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever experienced in your life where you've really seen how the Bible would apply to a specific instance in your life?
Yes, absolutely. And that's realistically the biggest part for me is that daily decision making and how it impacts us on a daily basis. And maybe a couple of examples. One example would be the first time I read the Bible, something that hit me kind of hard was it's a verse in Luke about from the good things we store in our heart that a good man speaks, and the evil man brings up the evil things he stored in his heart, because it's from an abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Well, for me, what that meant is I didn't have always the right things that I was saying, so I probably wasn't storing the right things in my heart. So I tried to take that and apply it to my life in a way that each and every day when I'm speaking, that I try to say the things that God has shown me grace, so I should show grace to others and incorporate that into my life.
Yeah, okay. So to us who are still trying to figure out how and where, and what would you have to say to us in terms of how to really make studying the Bible a priority? What are kind of some things that we need to think about as we do that?
So for me, I think one of the things is to figure out what time of day you can set aside to do that. And for me, it's early in the morning. That's actually another benefit of doing this group study is when you're on the hook to provide feedback and encourage others, you kind of feel obligated to go ahead and do that reading. Other things can't distract you as much. So joining a small group gives you that accountability to go ahead and read. But I think structuring it and setting that time, making it a priority is key.
Okay, thanks. Would you help us thanks Clark and help me thank Clark for... You know, study after study after study have shown that the most effective way for Christians to grow as a disciple of Christ is through intentional engagement with Scripture. They've done these studies at Willow Creek Church, Church of the Resurrection, some of these big places where they've had a big pool of people, and they've taken Christians who are at different places in their faith development, and they've asked them about their faith development, and they found a direct correlation between a person's growth as a follower of Christ and their involvement and engagement with Scripture. So, why is it a discipline that so many Christians seem to neglect? The Bible churches all seem to be growing. Well, we're a Bible church too, right? We are a church that is built on the foundations of Scripture. The Bible is beautiful and it's powerful. And yes, it's also sometimes very confusing, sometimes even a little offensive as we engage with the text and really read what's happening there. And we often misunderstand the Bible. We often misunderstand what the Bible is trying to tell us. We miss the greater point of what the Bible is really trying to teach us. We live in this soundbite culture, a culture in which we get quotes and information out of context, and we rarely really get the full story. And I think sometimes we read the Bible in the exact same way. We read the Bible in this sort of soundbite kind of way, and we get these little McNugget verses that we pull out of context, or we take out of where they really are, and we don't apply them really as they were intent. We miss the bigger picture. We miss the greater story of what God is trying to tell us through the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It's also the most shoplifted book of all time. They read the book, then, you know, they'd realize, oh, I better go back and pay for it. But it's a book that people want to get their hands on. Why? What's so special about this particular book? Well, first of all, it's not a book. It's a collection of books. It's a library, and it's a collection of many, many books that tell one story. It's the story of God and God's work in the world and God's relationship with human beings. It's been translated into countless languages. It's been translated from original sources into languages that we better understand. It's a book that's been misunderstood and misused. And for many of us, it sits on our bookshelves and gathers dust. And we don't engage with it as fully as we could, and we don't experience a connection with Christ that is deep as it might be. And so I ask for us to read this passage from James chapter 1, which is kind of an unusual text as we're talking about the importance of studying the Bible, but I think it really is helpful for us. And I want to share with you I think it really helps us as it relates to our understanding of how the teachings of our faith are applied in our lives. Because I think deep down, it's more than what the Bible says. It's more than just the words on the page. It's how these words become real in us. It's how these words become alive in us. Because you, as a follower of Christ, might be the first Bible that any non-believer ever reads. They'll know more about what a faith in Christ looks like by watching you and your actions than they will from just opening up the book the first time and start reading it. And so I think it's important for us to see how God's word is lived out in our lives and how we really absorb it and become not just hearers of the word, but doers. And so there are a couple of verses that James writes that I think are really important for us. First of all, verse 21, he says, "Get rid of all moral filth and evil that's so prevalent, and accept the word that is planted in you." That's the first real key to really understanding Scripture and understanding how Scripture applies to our lives, is to accept God's word that is planted in us. God's word grows in us. We are the fertile soil in which the seeds of God's word are planted, and they grow in us. And we call on Scripture for that help and that direction. And so God's word planted in us then comes forth from us. You know, and in order to do that, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare that soil to be planted in a good way. If we're just covered with weeds, or if there's all kinds of awfulness within us and God's word gets planted in us, sometimes it doesn't grow as well because we haven't done the work of getting rid of some of those things that keep God's word from really taking root in our own lives. And so we get rid of all the things that would be a deterrent to God's word growing in us, and that we then spend that time cultivating and nurturing our relationship with God's word. We spend that time in God's word, letting God's word speak into our lives. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there's sometimes when we're not quite sure what to say, we're in a situation where we're trying to comfort a friend or trying to receive comfort for ourselves, and just out of nowhere, just sort of out of the blue, something scriptural just sort of comes into our heads. It kind of bubbles up from our hearts and into our minds, and we get this verse from God that we might not even know what chapter or what book it's from, or can't really quote where it comes from, but we just know we've heard it, we know it's there, we know we've read it, we know we've studied it, and it gives us that comfort, it gives us that peace of experiencing God's presence in our lives in that moment. The more we are engaged with Scripture, the more we start to study and understand what Scripture does in our lives, the more those verses just sort of come out from us. And that's part of how God's word grows in us and then is cultivated in us and then flows out of us. And so I think it's important for us to first accept that word that is planted in us. And then second, in verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. I mean, it's easy for us to just sort of do our daily Bible study and read a few passages and go, okay, that was interesting, close the book and go on with our lives. Or to read a devotional online, or to listen to a sermon, or listen to a podcast and to hear God's word spoken to us and then just say, okay, that was interesting, that was entertaining, but now I want to move on. It says, don't just listen to the word, do what it says. What does it mean for us to do that? James gives this great image of, you know, those who hear the word but don't do what it says. It's like staring in a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and then 2 seconds later you go, what was I wearing? What did I have on today? Or I had my hair look? Or did I brush my teeth? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we can stare deeply in a mirror, but we're not really looking in the mirror. We're just sort of blankly staring. Well, God's word is the same way. It reflects our lives back to us. And sometimes we can stare really deeply at the word and look like we're taking it very seriously. But if we're not doing what it says, then we've missed the whole point. We actually haven't seen or received anything. We've just experienced it. And so you got to know the difference between hearing the word or just reading the word and actually doing the word in our lives. And finally, a few verses later in verse 25, he says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, he will be blessed in what he does. God's perfect law gives us freedom. Now, sometimes we think of words like commitment or commandment or law, and we think of these words as restrictive. We think of these words as words that bind us, that hold us back, that fence us in. But in truth, God's word sets us free. The psalmist said that God's word is a light, is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. God's word lights the way for where we might go. Sin, that separation from God, that's the real bondage. The freedom we receive in God's word is the freedom to be who God created us to be. And so we live in obedience submission to God's word and God's will. And we experience a freedom in Christ that we would not have experienced on our own. When we try to live our own lives and we live our lives of separation from God, we live our lives of sin, we're actually bound by those chains. But Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God, who is the Word of God, sets us free to live a life that is completely, completely in God and for God. Sin is the bondage. Christ is peace. So I want you to think about for a few minutes how God's kingdom might grow. If this was the example that others saw in you, if people saw in you a life that was lived in joyful obedience to the service of our Lord, informed by God's word, what would that look like? There's a passage from Colossians 3 that I like to read at weddings. It's not going to be on the screen. I just want to share it with you. And then the very end of it, I want to spend a few more minutes in. You might have heard this before. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. And this is the verse I want you to hear today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, can you imagine a young couple or an older couple standing next to each other, saying wedding vows to each other, and committing to live their life with this principle, to bear with each other, to love one another, to clothe themselves with compassion and kindness, to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts, and to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly. I'd like us to meditate on that passage for just a minute. Letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, this is a technique that won't work with every passage. Of course, the longer passages, it won't work. But in terms of thinking about how God's word is speaking to us, what would it look like for God's word to dwell in us richly, to interact with the scriptures so that God's word dwells in us? Let's just think about those words. The word let. Let means allow, permit, open the door for God's word in my life. What word? The word of Christ. The word of Christ is not just any word. This is the word of Jesus Christ, the one who is our Lord and Savior, the one who said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The one who said, if you want to be exalted, you've got to humble yourself. The one who said, if you want to be first, you have to be last. The one who said, the greatest thing to do is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Let that word dwell in you. Dwell means live or reside or take up residence. In you, not just around me. It's nice to be when the word is around us, but it only changes us when it's inside of us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, not just the special people, not just the ordained, not just those over here, all of us. God's word is for all of us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly, extravagantly, fully. I want to ask you this morning, does the word of God dwell in you richly? And if the answer is no, then I got to ask you this. What does? What dwells in you richly? When there are lots of voices around us that call out for our attention. There are lots of places that we can go when we need something, when you need help, when you need comfort, when you need peace, when you need advice. Where do you go? Dear Abby? Facebook friends? Mom, dads? I mean, these are all perfectly fine places to go. God's word is better. God's word was written and designed to speak to the longings of the human heart. God's word was written so that we might connect with God again, to be reconciled with God as God's chosen people. God is calling us, he's praying for us to let his word speak into our lives. He sent Jesus Christ to earth as his word, as the unmitigated word of God, to show us how to be reconciled with God and live a life that is lived in God's presence and God's abundance. I think the challenge for most of us as Christians is in the ways that we use this book. We live in a soundbite world, and many of us have developed this soundbite theology where we don't really fully engage with what the Bible is really saying to us. We pull out a verse here and we pull out a verse there and we base our faith on that without engaging fully in the scriptures. And we reduce the most important relationship in our lives to a few misunderstood quotes. And we miss the great full picture of God's glory and God's grace and God's deep, deep love for us. So I want to encourage you to engage, to make the commitment to engage with Scripture. Because the Bible is used for instruction, it's used for guidance, and it's powerful in our lives. Karl Barth, who was a theologian a century ago, said, "The Bible is paper and ink, but God speaks to it. God speaks through it. And we listen, and we're formed by it, and we're changed forever by it." This Bible contains the Word of God, actualized when we hear it and respond to it. So I want to ask you, if you're going to make the Bible a priority in your life, to do something this week that you may have never done before, and to make the commitment to strive for your daily life to reflect the teachings of Scripture, to surround your family with Scripture, and to find strength and power and direction to face your day and your week and your challenges through God's Word. Find some way this week that you might grow in your understanding of Scripture or your commitment to growing in your relationship with Scripture. It's not an easy book to understand, but God speaks through it, and God speaks to us, and we find God's love all throughout the pages of this holy book. I invite us to a time of prayer. Loving God, we pray that you would help us, strengthen us, motivate us, inspire us, encourage us, whatever it is that you need for us to do. Help us to take your word a little more seriously. Help us to engage with you a little more deeply. Help us to look to your word to guide us. Now, God, we're just going to say right now, we're not going to understand everything we read. We're going to misunderstand some things. We're going to misquote some things. We're going to be confused. And I pray that you'll open doors for us to understand better, that you'll help surround us with people who can help articulate your and translate and interpret your word for us. That we'll meet you halfway. We'll start. We'll make that step toward you. And we thank you in advance for calling out to us and meeting us. So I pray that you'll honor our commitment today as we offer these to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.